Indelible by Derry Derry Down. Read by Hana Nobira. The name on Yaromir's wrist came in years before his friends did. There were two theories why. His friends said it meant she was significantly older than him, and there were whispered thrills about what she could teach him, things that made something in Yaromir's belly curl with want. His father said it was just because Yaromir hit puberty before his friends. Whatever it was, Yaromir would run his thumb over the word as he waited to fall asleep, would imagine he could feel the confident, slashing M and the deteriorating scribble that followed it. Marie, he thought. Maybe Maria, but he hoped it was Marie. Maria was too Russian. His father would sigh in affectionate exasperation when he caught Yaromir dreaming. "You're not going to meet her," he would say. Not unsympathetically. "And you don't need to meet her to be happy." One day, he added, "Your mother and I don't match, and we are happy." Yaromir had never really thought about whether his parents matched. The name on his father's wrist was faint and faded, obscured by the creases and calluses of years of farm work, on top of his work at the mine. His mother's name was usually hidden by long sleeves, but... "She has your name," Yaromir said, and his father smiled. "But not in my writing," he said gently. "Did you know when you met?" That had been back in 1968, when Czechoslovakians had embraced the Western fashion of the wrist guard, before the Russians announced that hiding your wrist name was dangerously close to keeping a secret from the state. Nobody dared risk it nowadays. "We knew," his father said. "We fell in love anyway." Yaromir didn't think about Marie as much after that, not until Karel showed up at practice with a program from a Worlds game, signed by some of the players. One signature was so familiar, Yaromir felt like he'd taken a hit straight to the chest, and he held his wrist next to the page, staring between the two names. There was the M and the scribble after it, and Karel was staring at him, eyes wide. "A Canadian?" he said. Yaromir was more focused on it being Mario Lemieux, the guy who'd set the ice on fire and dominated every game he played in, even though he was barely old enough to be there. "I guess," he said, still staring at the signature scrawled in Karel's program. Karel ripped the page out and handed it to him. "Here," he said. "You should have it." He paused and, face twisted with regret, added, "I should have recognized it from your wrist. You could have known before the teams went home. I'm sorry. I'm really sorry." Yaromir managed a smile. "I wouldn't recognize yours if I saw it anywhere else." But Karel's was in an unfamiliar alphabet, and there were 2 years where Yaromir's wrist name was the focus of intense study from his friends. And he tried not to blame Karel, but he couldn't keep the poison-green frustration out of his mind entirely. "I guess we were right about her, him, being older than you, though," Karel said with a tentative smile. "Looks like it," Yaromir said. He showed the page to his father when he got home, and his father hissed a sharply indrawn breath. "Well," he said, and scratched at his own wrist name. "Don't tell anybody," he said. "It won't look good if people know your wrist mate is a Westerner." Yaromir hadn't even thought about that. "You're going to have to practice even harder," his father continued. Yaromir frowned. "Why?" His father raised his eyebrows. "You're going to have to get on the national team if you want to meet this Lemieux, aren't you?" But Mario wasn't at Worlds. Wasn't there when Yaromir was one of the crowd of potential draftees shown around the Penguins' facilities, and they still hadn't met by the time Yaromir was standing in the stands in Vancouver, waiting to be drafted. He picked at his wrist guard, his first ever, and still unfamiliar and chafing. But everyone else wore them. His parents got sharp second looks when people saw their bare wrists, and the acid-washed denim made him grin with delight whenever he caught a glimpse of it. He could never have got something like that in Czechoslovakia. The first four teams passed him over, and his smile was starting to dim, when his father leaned over and said, "We knew this would happen, remember?" Nobody knew if the new Czechoslovakian government would let Jaromír leave the country to play. Even Jaromír didn't know if he'd be willing to defect if they didn't. There was a good chance no team would take the risk until the second round. "I know," he said, but leaned forward anyway as Craig Patrick reached the podium. If Mario's team didn't take him now, they wouldn't have another chance until the third round. And if he hadn't been picked by the third round, he'd have to defect, because he'd never be able to face his teammates in Kladno again. They took him. At the party afterwards, Jaromír was swiftly separated from his parents and herded in with the other draftees for photo opportunities and introductions to people he'd never heard of and never would again. And it turned out his English was even worse among fast-talking crowds. "What did he say?" he asked Petra Nedved for the 50th time, and Petra sighed. "Go with him. He wants you to meet your captain." Of course, Jaromír would meet Mario on the day everything changed. He didn't know why he hadn't thought to expect this. But then Mario was in front of him, smiling, shaking his hand, angling them both to face the cameras, his hand heavy and possessive on Jaromír's shoulder. And Jaromír couldn't even manage a smile. When the cameras were gone, Mario's smile faded a little, and he studied Jaromír's face. He said something in English, too fast for Jaromír to catch. All Jaromír could do was shrug. Mario frowned briefly, but then it smoothed away in understanding, and he repeated himself, slower, the words simpler. "Will you be able to come to Pittsburgh?" "Yes," Jaromír said, because he knew now. Even if the government wouldn't let him leave, he'd defect. It might mean trouble for his family left behind, but they'd support him. "I have reason." Mario smiled. "Hockey's a great reason."
No, not hockey. Jaromír was struggling with the unfamiliar clasp of his wrist guard. "Oh, hey, no need for that," Mario said, eyes wide. And Jaromír got that this was rude in the West. He did. But Mario needed to see. He finally got his wrist guard off and held out his arm. "See?" "Shit," Mario said, and grabbed hold of Jaromír's wrist.
That's me! That's my name! My writing!"
He rubbed his thumb over it, hard, as though he could smudge it.
"But it can't be!"
"You," Jaromír said, and he could smile now, like he couldn't when the cameras were on him. Couldn't stop smiling, because he'd found his wristmate. Out of 7 billion people, he was standing next to the one person he was meant to spend his life with. Mario was wearing a discreet black wrist guard, and he unstrapped it, held out his own wrist for Jaromír to see. Jaromír was expecting to see his own familiar name, the wide, looping J, the decreasing loops after it, almost as illegible as Mario's. But he didn't. "Natalie," it said, in neat, precisely printed letters. And Jaromír was still smiling, but only because he didn't know how to stop without crying. The end.